I'm Kristen McFarland, and this is Market Like a Badass. I'm the founder and CEO of The Source Marketing Group, a marketing technology company in Colorado focused on highly regulated markets like cannabis and craft beer. I have a very special guest here today to geek out with me about the booming hemp beverage category. Today, we are going to hear from special guest Lisa Hurwitz, founder and CEO at Happy. Happy is a hemp beverage company offering low-dose THC seltzers. There are zero chemicals or synthetics in their product. Happy is made with Delta-9 THC derived naturally from hemp. And I can't wait to dive into today's discussion. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, Kristen. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to geek out on all things hemp beverages with you.
Yes, I can't wait. And thanks so much for taking time to come on. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Yeah, of course. So I am a marketer by background. I grew up in the consumer packaged goods industry, spent the early part of my career in the ad agency world. Procter & Gamble was a client for a very long time. I then spent several years in-house at Kimberly-Clark at a global job and landed in the cannabis industry in about 2018. First on the regulated market side, so not in Colorado where you are, but I actually worked and lived in Chicago, where a lot of big multi-state operators are located. And I spent several years as the chief marketing officer of Grassroots Cannabis, which was bought by Curaleaf in 2020. And when I recognized, having spent a lot of time in dispensaries and in cultivation operations, that there wasn't a lot of lower dose products that were sort of tailored towards women, I became really, really passionate about exploring new ways in which to enjoy cannabis in a more kind of controlled format, also in a way that felt more accessible. And Happy was born in 2021.
Wow, what an incredible background and so cool to see all the moves you've made in the industry. So I'm excited to dive in and dig a little bit more into that business background and your insights into the hemp beverage world. But before we dive into that, I've got to ask the most important question of the day, which is, what are you grateful for?
Oh, I love gratitude. I do the gratitude practice all the time. I am grateful for a lot of things, Kristen. I am grateful, as you know, I live the majority of my time actually in Central America now, which was a big COVID move. I'm grateful for the life I have here. I'm grateful for the warmth of the Pacific Ocean. I'm grateful I have two teenage boys and they're safe and happy and a wonderful family. And I get up every day and get to come to work and work on Happy, and it's something I love. So I have a lot to be grateful for.
Oh, that's amazing. And I am so happy for you. Like, really, how incredible and so cool to be able to split your time also and spend some time in Central America. So that's really exciting. And I wanted to dive a little bit more into your business background and insights into what you're doing at Happy. So first, take us back to your experience in CPG and hemp and cannabis. What made you launch Happy? You alluded to it a little bit, but what need did you see in the market?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a marketer, I think I was born that way. I've thought a lot about this as I've gotten older. I sort of always see opportunities for new ways to communicate with consumers, new products. I've spent most of my career in the CPG world in really kind of like the consumables categories. So at P&G, it was a lot of like beauty, fabric care. So think brands like Tide and others. And then at Kimberly-Clark, it was more paper. So when I got into cannabis, the first thing I thought was, what are the consumers' like needs in this category? And how do we tailor products to those needs? And the biggest gap I saw, Kristen, working in kind of the regulated market, the more dispensary, higher dose market, was there was a lot of flower and a lot of vapes and concentrates. And it felt like the milligram counts were just going up and up and up. The cannabis was getting stronger. Yeah. And we weren't really tailoring products for kind of that canna curious, specifically more female consumer who maybe looking at cannabis as an alternative to replace alcohol or replace you know, pills or other things she's doing. And that's really where the idea from Happy was born. So I spent quite a bit of time, Grassroots at the time had 70 plus dispensaries when we sold it across 12 different states. So I had a lot of experience with our consumers and what their needs were and their requests were. And believe it or not, still, even in recreational markets, a lot of consumers come in for specific needs, anxiety, pain relief, sleep. Those were probably the three that we heard over and over and over again. And that's stuff that, you know, cannabis can treat like in everyday life, right? That's a lot of what people self-medicate with different supplements or pills or alcohol. And so that was really sort of the impetus behind Happy, was there's a much better way to live, and wanted to introduce more people to the plant.
Yeah, and truly wellness oriented. And to your point, for Can of Curious folks, because I know so many people, I mean, even some of my friends in marketing, right, that aren't in the industry, but they want a lower dose option, right? Because a 2.5 can still rock them. That, like, they're not, you know, dabbing in the evening, and they're not used to maybe something a little bit more potent. So it's nice having that option, because if I'm at an event, for example, like, I want multiple drinks because I'm gonna sit there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. I don't need a 10 milligram to knock me on my butt. I think that that offers so much more in relation to the social changes, you know, alcohol, the shift from alcohol to non-alc, hemp beverage, etc. But also, just to your point, wellness in general, because cannabis has really helped me in getting off pharmaceuticals. And so having those wellness options that aren't as potent but can help you manage throughout the day is so important.
Exactly. You nailed it. That's exactly the idea behind Happy.
I love it. Yeah. And really, I mean, you all are offering options for those Can of Curious segments, and that can obviously influence, you know, your targeting, the doses you offer. And I think it's really cool because you talked about women, and we're often an overlooked segment in the cannabis space, right? People are catering to the Donnie Dankos of the world, but not always women. And so can you talk about why do you develop formulas specifically for women? How does being female-founded even influence some of that product development approach?
I love that question, Kristen, and I appreciate you asking it, because there are so few female founders in this category. Actually, one of my mentors and a woman that comes to mind who I think really pioneered a lot of the gummy category is a Colorado native herself, which, you know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners and clients is Nancy Whiteman from WANA. And she was one of the first and one of the few female founders still in this category. And what she identified, and we sell WANA's hemp-derived gummies on our Happy site as well, because we're very much aligned with what Nancy's vision was. And I feel like Happy's taken that a step even further, which is, you know, dosages and formulations that are designed to elicit specific effects. So one of the things I noticed, you know, in the dispensary market was there weren't, especially years ago, so I entered the category at Grassroots in 2018, and there weren't a lot of dispensaries that felt like good experiences where you really wanted to be. But it also, you know, there was bulletproof glass back then, and everybody, it felt like you were doing something really illegal, right? And now those experiences have gotten a lot better. But, you know, I still find that women would much prefer to be able to pick up, you know, like a bottle of wine when they go grocery shopping than have to make another stop at a dispensary, talk to a bud tender, figure out what it is they want. And so we've made Happy as accessible as possible for with that sort of design target and that consumer in mind. So thinking about, she's a busy woman, you know, has a lot going on, might stop at the grocery store or might stop at a convenience store or, you know, somewhere else on her way home. And so how does cannabis fit into her current lifestyle? Like, don't, you know, I think the biggest challenge was in the regulated market, you're asking consumers to change their behavior. Like, well, if I'm not a smoker now, do I have to become a smoker? Or I don't know how to take an edible and what I'm going to feel like, and then I have to wait an hour till it sets in. So there's all these challenges with those, you know, form factors. And I think the beauty of beverage, which is where we went right away with Happy, is And especially on the hemp-derived side, is it's now sold in, you know, liquor stores, bars, restaurants, even some grocery stores where we've seen kind of some recent traction for Happy, which I'm super excited about because it's right in the produce section. So it's the same way mm-hmm. you'd be doing your typical grocery shop and you'd say, I'm going to buy, you know, apples and I'm going to pick up a case of beer or I'm going to pick up a couple bottles of wine for the week. That's where Happy is available. The other place we've had a lot of success is online. Get it delivered directly to your door. Again, after the pandemic, we found consumers want convenience. And mm-hmm. right now, you know, some dispensaries deliver, but many do not. And so as much as we can make Happy a convenient choice for consumers to be able to replace what it is they typically, you know, do to take the edge off in the afternoon, like, you know, after a long day, do you have a glass of wine to sort of settle down? Replace that with a Happy and making it as easy as possible for consumers to incorporate that into their routines.
Yeah, that's so true. And those different distribution channels do make it easier to also just reduce the stigma across the industry because it's like more access. And to your point, maybe less, it feels like it's easier to maybe access for some people than that behind the bulletproof glass. And so it is a little bit of a different experience. And I think it'll help the industry overall. You know, I love even at King Super seeing like, you know, Sati CBD soda on the shelves. It's a good signal of, you know, okay, we're slowly getting there in both, you know, markets. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see as things continue to get shaken up. But good news today, I guess, in Texas, too. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's wild. You have a lot to navigate as a small business owner between regulations and just normal marketing, but also teaching people about a category that really hasn't existed. So we'll talk a little bit about that later because I definitely want to talk about your approach to educating consumers. But first, I want to talk a little bit more about the low dose aspect of cannabis beverages, right? There's a little bit of infighting right now in the industry of low dose versus high dose. What's the right approach? But I've seen a lot of people push to the higher potency, a lot of 10 milligram, you know, options plus. And so I'm curious, what's your philosophy on kind of sticking to that low dose category?
Yeah. So I have a very strong point of view, having worked on both sides of the cannabis market. Having worked in the regulated side, I absolutely believe high dose cannabis, anything above 10 milligrams belongs in a dispensary. And that gives consumers who go into the dispensary multiple options, right? So they have different form factors, different dosages. You know, medical patients can get high dose for dealing with things like, you know, chemotherapy and other needs that they have. Dispensaries, in my opinion, like a pharmacy kind of approach, serve a very clear purpose. 10 milligrams and above, all form factors, I believe, should live in the dispensary channel. Underneath 10 milligrams, I think gummies and drinks need to be regulated like alcohol. They should be put absolutely through the regulatory system. It should be beer and wine distributors that are in charge of, you know, making sure that the beverages are properly tested, that they have COAs. You know, we've absolutely been following this process since day one with Happy. So we test all of our products, track, trace, and we have QR codes on all of our cans so you can see kind of batch numbers and all of that. And in most of our markets, obviously direct to consumers, you know, we send it out directly. But with all the rest of our markets, we go through wholesalers. So we go through beer distributors. A lot of them are in the Anheuser-Busch network. Some of them are wine and spirits distributors. It just depends on the state. And that way we're ensuring like the safety for the consumer. I think what's happening right now is just a lack of regulation. You know, when you see a 50 milligram drink or a six pack for 300 milligrams available at a Total Wine or available at a liquor store, like that's pretty dangerous in my opinion. And I think it's very short-sighted for the category. I think It's what we've seen in the regulated market, which is as markets mature, the milligram count goes up and pricing comes down. And that's not really good for anybody. And, you know, I think we're going to start to see more and more regulations come out. They're going to be on the state level. And we're going to see lower milligram caps. So most of the states that have been putting milligram caps in place are putting them at 10 or under. We're hearing there's two new states that are going to come out with 5 and under milligram caps. And so for us, anything under 10, we believe is considered microdose and can mm-hmm. be safely regulated and sold by alcohol and beer and wine distributors.
Is that Connecticut doing the 5 milligram or?
Connecticut's, I believe, is 2.5 or 3.
Okay.
Massachusetts is one of the markets that's considering allowing hemp again at a 5 milligram cap. Iowa has a 4 milligram cap, which is kind of a random number. And then most states that have caps, like Georgia and a few others, have them at 10.
Wow. And so if you're listening and you're new to this space, what you're hearing is, you know, you have so many regulatory hurdles. You also have some saturation of like, wow, all of a sudden all these brands trying to boom and be the first to be, you know, that recognizable hemp beverage brand. So it's starting quickly to like, everybody wants to put out something. So that's, you know, a challenge. But what do you think is the biggest challenge in the space right now?
Definitely a challenge, I would say, outside of the control of like the brands and operators to a degree, right? We can all put lobbying dollars together. I've done fly-ins in Washington, mm-hmm. like with the U.S. Hemp Roundtable. We're on the board of multiple, you know, companies.
Yep.
Washington and lobbying is and regulatory is definitely the biggest, just because there's so many parties involved and so much confusion and so much just going on in Washington in general, as we all know. With this new administration, it's just chaos for the category. I think everybody thought, you know, everybody thought rescheduling might happen. That hasn't happened. So where does this leave the regulated cannabis market? If hemp's allowed, then you've got the hemp side saying it's not only beverage, right? It's all these other form factors and it's also farmers. So the mm-hmm. regulatory piece is incredibly challenging. I would say the second within the category is, look, you know, Kristen, the beer, the alcohol category is in decline. I mean, I don't think anybody would be surprised. You've seen umpteen articles about it. Dry January gets bigger every year. This year we have Dry July coming up. We have Sober October. There's every holiday to not drink alcohol, right? Surgeon mm-hmm. General warning came out in January saying it could cause cancer. More warnings came out saying alcohol is actually particularly bad for women because of the link to breast cancer and heart disease, all these other things, right? So, you know, you have a category in decline like alcohol, and then you have all of these particularly craft breweries who are, you know, Colorado is a state that has a lot of them who are hurting because there isn't as much demand, and they have tanks and they have line time and they have the expertise to run THC beverages. So you've seen this enormous, I mean, we came into the category in 2023 in the hemp beverage category. In 2 years, it went from being a dozen or so, maybe 24 brands, to probably 2,000, 3,000 hemp beverage brands at least.
Yeah.
And so I would say the biggest challenge now is, how do you help consumers sort through all the chaos to the really reputable companies that are doing it the right way and the ones that also taste good and make you feel good, right? Because it's very easy for anybody to just stick THC in a can, right? You just emulsify it and you put it into some form of a beverage and that's fine. But it's all of the nuance that we take very seriously at Happy. It's the testing, it's the formulating the perfect amount of different minor cannabinoids and THC together. It's making sure we've got bitter blockers. So, you know, cannabis, and especially in emulsified you know, format, is very bitter. How do you make a beverage that actually tastes good that people, because beverage is different than edibles, you want to sit and enjoy it. You're not just popping it and, you know, so the beverage, it doesn't have to taste good, but it should taste good, right? And there's so many terrible tasting cannabis beverages out there right now.
Or they have a ton of sugar.
Or they have a ton of sugar to cover up the bitterness.
Yeah. Oh, that's probably why. Yeah. It's weird and it's supposed to be Well, you think, well, right, you think in your mind, this is a wellness product. So why am I now consuming all this sugar to even be able to enjoy this? It's kind of defeating the purpose. So sometimes a misalignment in what the consumer is expecting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so cutting corners right now and helping, and it's not just consumers, it's also helping distributors. So as new states open up, distributors have hundreds of products they have to taste. How are they supposed to know which are the good brands and the quality products and which are the ones, which ones should they carry, which ones should... So really, it's a challenge right now in just that there's kind of a gold rush in the category. That will subside, but we're kind of right in that sweet spot now.
And then how can we get more women in this space?
Women
entrepreneurs, right? Leaders, you know, seat at the table, you know, on boards, whatever that might be.
Yes, that's a huge challenge as well. I mean, I was asked this a couple of weeks ago on, you know, a different podcast I was on about why there are so few women in the cannabis category and what some of the biggest challenges are. And, you know, Kristen, this is another one where it's been sad to see. I mean, I've been in the category now for 7 years, and the amount of women, especially in leadership roles, has just continued to decline. And I think, number one, it's a really, really hard category. And almost all of the capital and all of the bigger companies are run by men. So if you're, you know, a female entrepreneur, one of my biggest challenges is finding capital and not having the same networks that men have to be able to go source capital is a huge challenge. And I think that's why you don't see more female entrepreneurs in the category.
That's so true. And, you know, we need more men in leadership roles in the hemp beverage space and beyond to hire women. So please, if you're listening to this, hire more women, really. Like this, we need more diverse viewpoints at the table anyway. It's only going to benefit your company. It's going to get you in touch with consumers in a way that maybe you haven't connected with them before because of that diverse viewpoint. But really, I think there's an opportunity here for some of the men to step up and see the gap in the space and make those investments or hires accordingly. And so I just wanted to call that out because that's really important. And I want to see more women leading in this space. And before we pivot over to marketing tips and tricks, and I have a lot I want to pick your brain on there, but I wanted to ask a really important question, which is, what is something unique about your business that you'd want everyone to know?
Well, so I actually was going to dovetail on what you were saying, Kristen, about women. And our former CEO just stepped down, and I am really proud to announce that I'm the CEO of Happy, but every function in the leadership level at Happy is led by a woman. So we have a female head of finance, a female head of operations, a female head of sales, and a female head of marketing. And I'm really proud of that. You're getting a sneak peek. I haven't even announced that on LinkedIn yet, but, We just went through a bit of a restructuring, and I believe in putting, you know, your money where your mouth is. And if I'm out there talking about the importance of reaching women with cannabis, being a female leader, I want to hire really strong women around me. And so one thing you may not know about Happy, but if you're voting with your pocketbook versus voting for other hemp beverage brands, we are not only female founded and led, but every leadership function right now at Happy is run by a female.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thanks. I feel like that is so rare. Wow. In general, let alone now put the lens of cannabis and hemp, and I just applaud the efforts and to just bring women up behind you. And I feel like that's just amazing to do that. And wow, you're making such impact with your brand, both from the consumer perspective and the wellness they get from the product, but just knowing that you, you're hiring intentionally is just awesome. So thanks for the support.
Thank you. No, thank you for the support.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love that. More women in business and women in tech. So, you know, that's my
Seriously.
Other big thing. And now I want to talk a little bit about some marketing tips and tricks, and digital marketing seems to be a core part of your strategy. So I want to talk about what channels have been most effective for reaching your target audience of health-minded women.
Yeah, so digital marketing is a fun one. I'm a brand marketer by background and spent a lot of my career in and out of the digital space. But I feel like even if you're not in it deep for like a year or two, it just shifts so fast, especially with AI. Oh. And for us, it's the standard stuff. I will tell you, there are three channels. It's Google, it's Meta, and it's email and Klaviyo and CRM. I think email is a lost... Yeah. I don't think people talk about email enough. I saw this when I was at Grassroots and we were doing multiple dispensary emails and building lists of customers that came to dispensaries, building loyalty programs. I saw the power of email. And as soon as we launched Happy Online, it's been about 2 years that we've been running our direct-to-consumer business, we started building our email lists. And we have a huge, almost 100,000 person database at this person at this time, loyal consumers. About 60% of our direct to consumer business is done via subscriptions, and we really try to make
that's amazing.
We really try to make it valuable and fun for our subscribers, so they get early access to sales. They get early access. We're going to be launching. We're testing a new product, and that will only be available to subscribers to try that new product. So things like that, every, fifth or sixth purchase, they get a free 4-pack of Happy. So we really try to incentivize, and I think email is the way we keep our current consumers engaged, and it's extremely powerful. Getting new consumers to the advertising side, it really has been driven largely by Google and Meta. TikTok's a channel we're experimenting with. TikTok, it just depends, tends to be a little bit more awareness driving and upper funnel than conversion driving. And we've been largely focused on more conversion driving channels, which are definitely on the Google and Meta side of things.
Yeah, and Meta's been successful for some of our clients at the top of funnel running ads, right? So, it's interesting. Obviously, you still have to take a few extra steps to get those things running, but you can do it. You can do it. Just got to be smart about it and safe and make sure your primary accounts aren't going to be impacted, so you're not losing your work there. But yeah, I mean, that's been super effective. And it's I love that you mentioned that because people, I think, are challenged because of the limitations on Meta. There's more set up in the beginning, but then once you're running, you're good to go. So that's a great channel. Email, I'm an email geek and I love any chance to talk about email. But one of the things I love is that you have a big list and so many people aspire to that. And so you mentioned on some good things like, incentivizing people, probably you're increasing lifetime value because you've got your retention strategy down. But can you talk about how you grew that list to that big? Because that's really where people get challenged. Hey, I'm starting at 20. How do I even think about getting there?
Yeah, it's a great question. So I think a couple things. One is when we first, this is how early we were. So part of it was a supply and demand. Like when hemp beverage first launched, there was really no place to buy it other than online. So we launched our site in mid-2023. We had to do it on WooCommerce because at the time Shopify wasn't actually allowing hemp and hemp beverages. So last year we switched from Woo to Shopify, and that really allowed us to sort of open up a new subscription partner, be able to do a lot more sort of referrals. So in terms of growing the list, we're grateful in that we have a lot of very fanatical, happy fans. And so we do, refer a friend. We do a lot of like win back flows, a lot of programs around kind of, just if you, abandon cart, like all the typical things you do in an email program.
Yeah.
Our welcome offer is also really attractive. So if you join our list, you especially for new consumers who want to try, Happy for the first time, you get a discount. So that's really how we built our list. But I think we had a lot of tailwinds because we were early in the category, and it was hard to find, if you don't want to go to a dispensary, how do you find cannabis and be able to try it in your own home or your own way? And Happy really provided a value. Like we deliver it right to your doorstep. You don't have to worry about it. And people, I think it's 98% of our consumers consume Happy at home. That's where they prefer to drink it. Or if they go to a friend's house, or but in a more intimate setting. And I think that makes sense because a lot of consumers still don't trust themselves. They don't know how the beverage is going to affect them. Is it going to be like a glass of wine or a beer? Or how do I think about this? And so, you know, having the convenience of being it being delivered to your door was really attractive and still is. I mean, we're probably bringing in, you know, 20 new consumers a day on a good day to our to our list, and it just builds over time. So I would say consistency is really important as well.
Yes, yeah, consistency is key. And then you have a really unique outlet, or I guess, of partners, because I feel like I see you with Wana. Maybe I think you've done maybe the marketplace for hemp beverage. So has that helped with visibility, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, these marketplace sites in hemp haven't worked out the way that I think that was originated. I still believe consumers are going to brand websites to actually make the purchase. But there's been so much more, you know, PR and just so much more interest in the category, especially with the decline in alcohol and all these new studies coming out. So that's helped a lot. And then, of course, some basic stuff, Kristen, you know, that you know from your business, like SEO is really important, right? Make sure you rank really high on certain keywords. And Happy, again, got in early. And as a result, you know, we were able to drive a lot of traffic from Google and SEO and from our meta ads and then convert people, which is really important.
And getting that data. So yeah, if you're listening, right, they're filling that funnel with their ads, their SEO, and the different channels that they have. And then once they're in that funnel, you know, once they collect that data, they can remarket. You can get them on the subscription plan, which I thought I heard you say 60% are on that, right? The recurring, which is huge. That's like Chewy.com's model. Like whatever industry you're in, that recurring revenue is going to look very attractive to investors. It's going to help you with your cash flow planning and projections.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of benefit to doing that. And that's huge. I've seen it across Happy. I've seen it across, you know, non-hemp beverage. And that is the way to go. And you are kind of training your customers. You're increasing that customer lifetime value. And then you're building brand champions that are going to grow your list even more. So you all seem to really have that dialed in. And that online experience, but with a big list, right? If you're talking 100,000 people in your email database, that's a lot of people to think about messaging. So how do you segment and message to that audience to keep them engaged and loyal?
It's another really good question. So our we have a subscriber segment, obviously, which is different than our kind of more broad general. So we have our consumers tiered. Some of it, you know, we have like our kind of more top tier consumers who have been with us a long time or buy a lot regularly and kind of goes. So our subscribers definitely get, as I mentioned to you before, like insider access, first looks at deals, things like that. We also are able to keep track of, you know, because we do have all of the purchase data too, right? So the benefit of being in the D2C space, and this is very different for me being a packaged goods marketer, because when I was at Kimberly Clark, you're not really selling Kleenex online, right? That's not the majority. I mean, yes, of course, you can buy most things from Amazon, but, you know, most sales go through traditional retail. The really amazing benefit for us having 2 years of direct-to-consumer data in this category is frequently bought together. What does a typical basket ring look like? Like, we have all of that data. So we're able to go back to consumers and say, you know, you liked this, you may like this, or other people in your area are buying our Happy Lime Wild Mint this summer. Do you want to try it? Here's a 20% off coupon. So we're able to that. And I would say, Kristen, too, which is really exciting, when we open a new market, like, you know, we opened New Jersey in March, and New Jersey's been an awesome market for us. We're able to market to our direct-to-consumer database to say, oh, do you need a last-minute Happy purchase, or go check out what your local grocery store or liquor store or in New York bodega has. And we can share kind of that sort of omni-channel approach as well. Like, yes, you can buy it online. but you can also buy it in the store and, you know, you have options, which is kind of exciting.
And that's huge. And I know it's hard to track. Oh, did this email actually get them to go into that store? But you know that, you know, you're watching the sales here, or, you know, how much did we have to resupply at this shop? You know, there's different data points that you can kind of tie back to see, are these things working and moving the needle both digitally and offline, either for our partners in store or whatever may be the case, depending on your business type and model. I love that. And you all just seem to really have it dialed in, and it's just so impressive. And you're using data in the right way to continue to grow and be intentional with your marketing spend. And that's huge.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
What do you think is the most overlooked marketing channel for hemp beverage? Is it email?
I think it's email because there, you touched on it earlier, and this is a great segue into just talking about education. Email provides a longer form format for education in a way that's incredibly difficult to do in a meta ad. You can certainly do it on your website as well, but email is obviously a push communication. So it's like, especially because people are on their phones all the time, they're more likely to read an email than they are to go to a education page of your website, unless they're really have time. And, you know, I think it's a powerful tool in that you can really tailor the message you want to say. And that's, you know, even in store, you're not getting a lot of shelf space. You're getting what's on the package. Maybe you'll get like a shelf talker in the aisle or a piece of collateral in the store, but you're also fighting with, you know, 100 other brands on the shelf. When it's email, it's just you and the consumer. And so what I would say, Kristen, that we've seen is people really like to know what others are doing. This category is still a category, believe it or not. You and I have been in it very deep for a long time. And Colorado was one of the earliest states in the category. But there's still a stigma. People don't know how much should I take? What's it going to do to me? How am I going to feel? So they like hearing from other people, and they like understanding who and what is behind a brand. And that, I believe, is most effectively communicated, I should say, in longer form channels like email.
And you're telling that brand story. Like, why do people connect and want to buy from you over and over again? Because to your point, there's a lot of different beverages out there, but they're buying because of the way you hire and you support other women in business, and it tastes good and it connects to me. But you have to tell those things over and over because, people, we're just so busy, you know, again, shorter attention spans, and the longer form content is a chance for you to have fun and convey your brand story and message in a way that maybe you couldn't, to your point, in a short form ad, you know, that's very quick. And so I love that. And you mentioned, you know, educating consumers. You know, we've used those longer form campaigns, like for like Country Growers. They have a brick and mortar store. They might actually be rolling out a hemp beverage soon. But they've got, you know, pre-rolls and different products, and then they've got their digital presence. And so when they roll out things like their functional mushrooms or their THCV gummies, those email campaigns are wildly successful. And a lot of times when we're just educating and not selling, sometimes we're getting the higher click rate, higher engagement, higher average order value, because we're actually helping them understand how to buy those products and kind of move around the menu, so to speak.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think it's really effective, you know, for companies that can't advertise. Like, hemp is a little bit easier than regulated cannabis. But still, we have a lot of the same restrictions that the regulated cannabis market does with being able to advertise. And so I think email, because it's private, so to speak, it's opt-in, you are really able to talk and educate and kind of be much more transparent with consumers in that channel.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I've got to ask the very important question is, what's your approach to educating consumers about multi-cannabinoid functionality, right? THC, CBD, CBN, without overwhelming them too much with that technical information. How do they know?
Yeah, it's a really good question. The answer is, tell them what they care about, which is end effect, right? I mean, not that many people care about the ingredient itself, right? Even if you think about You know, you go into a Whole Foods or you go into more of like a health store and all of a sudden everything has magnesium in it, or all of a sudden everything has some other magic ingredient that's like the ingredient du jour of the day. And at the end of the day, the consumer, you know, turmeric or whatever it may be, right? Saffron. And it's like, okay, do you really care that much about saffron itself? Or do you care about like what the health benefits are of saffron if I drink this drink, right? So that's where I think the cannabis category doesn't do a great job from a marketing perspective. They talk too much about THC or CBD or CBN or CBG or whatever it may be. And they don't talk about like the why should I care? And that to me is the real role of marketers in cannabis. It's like, okay, why do I care that this has CBN in it? And the answer is because CBN for most consumers, right? Again, knowing there's limited research in this category helps with sleep and relaxation. So we specifically put it into two of our beverages, specifically into Nightcap, which is designed for to be that last drink before bed. Yeah, Happy Nightcap. And it's really good. It's like an apple flavor. It's really, it's actually got kind of a cult following. Like it's one of our SKUs that not everybody loves, but the people that love it are just like drink it every night, love it. And they really replace that brown, you know, cocktail, like a scotch or a bourbon or a glass of wine before bed. And it has CBN in it because CBN is designed to help with sleep. So the way we educate is we talk about not the ingredient itself or not the cannabinoid itself, but what the cannabinoid is designed to do, how the formulation sort of works together. And then we let others tell the story, right? So, you know, we have an awesome, if you go to our website, Happy Hour Drink, we have a tremendous number of ratings and reviews and testimonials, and really just getting to hear from others, how did this help you or affect you is also another great way to educate consumers.
That's so true. Yeah, and the user-generated content, because I want to know it helped another customer. You could tell me all day as a founder, but that only does so much, you know, to build my confidence and make that purchase, especially if it's I'm not sampling in store first. And so, yeah, I think that user-generated content, telling those stories, to your point, like, how does it make you feel? How does it make this person feel? We've done that with, even supplement clients. So same, but different, you know, but telling that story, and showing how other people incorporate that product into their everyday lives. Did they use Happy at the cookout this weekend? Right? Like where did they use it as part of their wellness regimen to unwind at night because they took the nightcap? And those are those brand stories that people connect to. And then they're like, well, I'm going to try that in my routine and see if that helps. And now somebody's trying that or subscribing to a new revenue line. Well, I appreciate all these amazing tips, and you're an absolute badass. Like, wow, everything you've built is just beyond amazing. And so I can't wait to have a celebratory nightcap or whatever happy product I'm going to celebrate with you from afar, and we can do a virtual cheers, because you really are just badass, and I can't wait to see where you go next. And with everything going on in the world, I think we need to go out and hug more trees. So... go touch some grass today. I so appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on. And for the audience listening, if you need quick links, check out the Market Like a Badass show notes. I'll link to social handles and the Happy website, or check out the direct-to-consumer website and get that subscription going, because Happy is badass. And wow, just everything you've done over the past few years is just amazing. Can't wait to watch you all continue to grow and continue to be successful. Follow us on Apple or Spotify, or go to marketlikeabadass.media for the latest episodes of Market Like a Badass.